for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, we're taking a quarantine from some Korean zombies with the 2016 Korean Zombie Train Epic Tearjerker Train to Busan. This was chosen because, once again, it is a May I Have a Foreign Horror Film May, brought to you by Hillary.
Yes, next year we will try to do it in February, but being foreign horror films. I left my speech at home for May. Foreign films. Sound like the chef from fucking
Swedish.
Yeah, yes. Herdiverdiver. Yeah. Y'all figure out what I'm talking about.
Holy
but
shit.
I think this is probably my favorite horror film. Of zombies. Like, okay. Zombie horror. And, like, Romero is God. I get that. I'll bow down. But I fucking love this movie.
That's interesting. That's really interesting for you to say that. Because you're a huge zombie person. And I'm, like, I've gotten better at liking zombie movies. But this movie, I thought, was just brilliant. I absolutely loved it. And this was your pick, so I have to know, what is your background with this, because this came out in 2016? So
yeah, I probably saw this for the first time probably during COVID, really, like 2020. Yeah, I didn't know about this when it like popped on the scene or whatever.
That's interesting. So did you watch this on like Shudder, or
it might have been Shudder or something? I honestly don't know. I didn't have a physical copy of it. So I watched it streaming somewhere during quarantine, which made it better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can totally understand this being like, I kind of wish I would have watched this during the pandemic. You introduced me to this like last week. And thank God I found it on Tubi. And I... Shout out to Tubi. What up? Hate your rebranding, but whatever. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was wonderful, and I thought it was very solid as a movie in general. I mean, usually I'm not much for like things that take place on like trains or planes, but I loved this. I loved this. I loved the acting in this. I loved the gore. I loved the storyline. I thought these were interesting zombies.
Yeah, very very reminiscent of 28 Days Later.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, of like the, you know, pseudo virus type thing, and they're fast zombies. And that was when I first saw 28 Days Later, I was blown away by fast zombies and then quickly dismissed them of, because I was like, zombies can't be fast, they're dead. And then it was like, well, it's a virus, they're not dead, they're just sick people. And I went, ooh, hot take. And then I had to like really reevaluate myself. And then when this came out and it was quarantine, pandemic, COVID, and people were sick and like losing it from being in quarantine, not losing it zombie-esque, you know,
right, I losing it emotionally.
Right. You know, relapses on the rise, divorces, you know, abuse, just the how badly people need people without even realizing that that's a real thing, you know, and just how intelligent the storyline to this was. I feel like there are a lot of zombie films.
Murphy was trying to get the squeaker out of the toy, and he had it in his mouth, and I went to go get it, and he attacked me.
Yeah, that's why I'm still talking. Yep.
Oh my God, that hurt.
But, you know, success, Aaron. Yes. Murphy, good boy, lives another day. Aaron... is now nine-fingered Aaron.
Ah, that's so, okay, go ahead.
All right. So it's just me and you now, guys. What are you wearing?
All right, I'm back. Okay. So So we open, this movie opens with what we're there's like a quarantine and there's a zone where they're slowing down all of these cars. And there has been a minor leak in the biotech district.
Yes.
Which I love when they show this deer. Can we talk about this deer for a second?
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Yes, we can. This is
can we episode. Talk about this deer? Okay. Yeah. Right. So a deer gets hit.
Yeah. The guy going through the quarantine. And what he says is, you know, you better not kill my livestock again. And I was like, ooh, so this is like a thing that happens here. He drives through, he runs over the deer, gets out, looks at it. Deer is kaput on the road. And then he drives off, and then deer gets up and has, you know, the whited out eyes and just kind of then runs off. Into the woods, I guess.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it because the deer, like every zombie in this movie, when they first reanimate, they kind of like move their head a certain way and then they like jerk to like they're alive again.
Yeah. Very reminded me very much of like The Grudge in ways that like she moved, of just like those snappy kind of body movements that always creeps me out. It doesn't matter what movie that I'm watching, when it is like contortionist type things, ooh, I get very uncomfortable.
Like when we watched Extra.
Yes. Very, very uncomfortable. I fucking love it, right. But it makes me so uncomfortable. And I attribute that to when I saw the director's cut of The Exorcist and she did like the back bend down the stairs.
That weird spider walk, dog. Yeah. That was not okay.
That. Yeah. Haunted yes. my dreams for such a long time that it really yes. heals like the inner child in me when I see it, and it makes me uncomfortable.
I love it
every time.
I fucking love it. So we're in an office and we see this guy who's, what's his name, Siok, is that what you have?
I have Suck You.
Oh, so cute. Okay. All right. Wow. Just two white girls yeah. trying to make this work.
Yeah. So if this comes across as racist in or, any way.
Asian phobic. Yeah, is that a word?
It is now. Yeah. I feel like it defines itself.
Oh, God.
This is really just two white girls trying to love a Korean film. So. Please,
we're sorry.
Yeah, we just want to talk about how amazing this movie is and how much we love it. So anything that we bastardize or get wrong or mispronounce,
we're so sorry.
Yeah, we're not shitting on this
right.
movie.
We would like to apologize to the Korean community right up front.
Yeah, yeah, because we just love the film.
Yeah, absolutely. So we meet our hero.
Dad.
Question mark. Dad. Who is a fund manager. Now, did you ever find out what this is that he actually does for a living?
I just know that he's like a hedge fund. He's like one of the billionaires on Wall Street.
Okay.
So we would hate him right off rip.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a daughter who is approximately how old?
I would go 7 to 9.
Yep. I would definitely say 7 or 8. Okay, great. Yeah. And he has a daughter who he doesn't see much. And it's her birthday.
Her birthday, and he asks like his assistant, you know, what are the kids into? You know, like, go get me a gift for my daughter.
And he ends up getting her a Wii, which sucks because she already has the Wii. He got it for her the last time this happened.
This is the third one.
Oh, she's the third Wii.
Yeah. She has like the one open that she's playing, the one still in the box, and now the one in her lap. And she is just heartbroken. This little girl is like the heart of the entire movie. Her acting is so phenomenal for like, because she is under 10 for
yeah,
sure.
Oh no, she's absolutely like a 7-year-old girl, basically. Yeah. But she's amazing. She is just adorable and sweet and... You know,
she's everything right in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the good. Yeah. She's the good in the world.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Dad's a very reluctant hero. He's not right now.
Yeah. No. Right now, when this movie opens, Dad is just a absentee father.
Yeah, like, I believe he has custody of her, because he has the money, is the way that it reads to me. But it is grandma, his mother, who is raised, because he is working all the time. I mean, he is working 80 plus hours a week. He provides for her. She has a very nice house, but she does not have her dad or her mom. She is being raised by grandma.
Yes, yes. Grandma, who does also lives with him. The grandma lives with them.
Yes. And when, you see her all crestfallen and, because she opened up her third Wii, he's just like, okay, so what do you want for your birthday? And she says, I want to go see mom. I'll take the train to Busan. Because that's where mom is.
By myself.
Yeah, and I'll go by myself. And, she's seven. But apparently that, which is, it is very common in, from what I've read online. So, never been. But it is very common for children in, Japan and China and Korea to be out on a train at seven by themselves. And it is not looked at weird. It, in America, fuck no, I wouldn't put my kid on anywhere.
Jesus, no.
No.
All the Hulu docs we watch?
Right. IDTV playing constantly in the background? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But yeah, no, it would not have been unreasonable for her to have gone by herself. And then, dad just kind of gets it together and is just like, okay, I'll take you, we'll take the train so you can go see your mom. We'll go take the train to Busan together. It'll take me 2 hours. I'll drop you off with her and then I'll take the train back and, I'll be back at work by noon.
Right. Exactly. So obviously his most, when we start this movie, the most important thing to this guy basically is his job.
Yes. Oh yeah. No, he is a workaholic. Shareholders are going to be mad. So he knows something is going on. And what he is concerned with is, making money, saving money, getting himself out. Cause he says in the movie, even to his daughter, you are the most important thing. In times like this, you always look out for number one. You only look out for yourself. You only take out for yourself. And every time he keeps giving his daughter these fatherly advice moments, she gets sadder and sadder because she is a good person. I guess from grandma, because
she's clearly not meant to be in business.
No, yeah, she is not a cutthroat individual.
She's gonna be a ballerina.
Yes, yeah.
And when he misses her, he has already missed her recital, and grandma has videotaped it and shown him the video of her doing this recital and also messing up.
Yeah, she stops singing. She looks out into the audience. She notices that dad isn't there and she can't sing anymore. And it's another fatherly moment of just you never quit. When you never give up, quitting is the worst thing that you could do. It's worse than never even starting. And he's, kind of reaming into her, and she puts her hand out the window and it's raining ashes. And it's such a beautiful, this, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, this movie, aesthetically speaking, this movie is gorgeous. Even stuff on the train, even whatever, but the scenery of this is such, it's really, really beautifully shot. I really love the way that it's shot.
Yeah, no, everything that you see in this movie, it's very subtle in a lot of ways. And what you have is just an absolutely beautiful masterpiece. But so they get on the train and, it's train loads of characters. We've got a group of baseball players, I believe a lesbian couple that are elderly.
Thank you. I said lesbian Korean Golden Girls.
Yes. And that's exactly who I thought that they were. And then as soon as they're, the train is about to take off, somebody, runs on the train through the back and just kind of, they look like they got beat up.
Yeah, they look like they got beat up and they are holding their stomach like they are holding in diarrhea.
Yes. And, the train attendant starts walking over to her of just like, are you okay? And she is seizing on the floor. While that is happening, you cut to another spot where the other, you know, train attendant guy, it looks like found like a homeless man.
Yeah, we kind of think exactly like what we first initially see him. He's just kind of like the odd dude that sleeps on the street.
Yes. Right. And he's like muttering to himself, everyone's dead. They're all dead. They're all dead. And, you know, the train guy is just trying to say, like, hey, do you have a ticket? Like, what? If you don't have a ticket, you can't be on here. And then the other train attendant is trying to attend to this woman who is now seizing on the floor. And all of a sudden, she has that neck snap and she attacks the train attendant. And as she is gnawing down, we meet the best people. The pregnant woman and her boyfriend, and she starts smacking her boyfriend, saying, like, go help her, like, go help her. And she is very pregnant. She is easily like 8 months pregnant. She is ready to go type pregnant. And his concern is always like taking care of her and getting her safe and then trying to go help.
He really is my favorite character in this whole movie.
It is. I love. I mean, he
you love the little girl too,
which is so bizarre for me. I never am rooting for the kids, but I love this little girl.
It is so off brand for us to be rooting for the children, but actually, the little girl is so adorable and just heartbreaking.
Yeah, and she, you know, she's wandering around the train, you know, like the way kids do. Dad has fallen asleep on the train and, you know, she's walking around to like see what's going on. You know, she's seen the homeless man, then she's seen the seizure on the floor. She is, you know, she is up and about.
two cat fighting Korean girls. It looks like the baseball team's fantasy.
And, you know, they start. Dad wakes up and he looks up and sees on the news that riots are breaking out like everywhere.
Right. And that's all we really, it's funny because the way that the Korean news and the Korean government has kind of presented this is that it is riots of unruly people.
Yes. Right. You know, the military's got it. The police, you know, we're going to get it under control. It's just people are, you know, just rioting. We can't imagine why. And now the bitten flight, or not flight, train attendant. Do they have a different name? Is it train attendant?
No, I think it's just train attendant.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I don't think it's barbecue fork.
We are barbecue fork. Still, yep. Good for us.
Yeah.
Now, she has turned, and pregnant woman and boyfriend start running into the other train.
Right, because now we've got this, like, bite fest that's going on in one side of the train, and the other side of the train is not affected.
Yes. And then, like, zombies terrify me in the not being able to get away. Like,
right, because your whole thing is the fact that zombies have hordes. Yes. There's hordes of zombies, so therefore you couldn't get away from them, so that's why they're scary.
Yeah, and just like the, even if I kill one, there's another one and another one and another, and just human nature of getting exhaustion and nowhere is safe, and the, you know, encompassing like greed of zombies, and just at no point are you ever going to be okay. Even if you get to destination X, they're coming. At like just the constant needing to run and fight and battle is, zombies scare the shit out of me as it is. Now you've put me on a train and now there's nowhere for me to go. This movie gives me such claustrophobia.
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess I can see if you're claustrophobic in any way. It's like this movie and like The Descent would just be like, ah.
Yeah, yeah. Descent scares the shit out of me. All of that. And as pregnant lady and her boyfriend are running, Dad shuts the door to the vestibule to lock them in. And, you know, eventually they do get through on the other side. But that causes, you know, the rift of like, what's your problem, asshole? Why would you leave us over there? And it's, you know, when Dad's saying, like, we only look out for number one in times like these.
Yeah, exactly. Like, clearly, that's how he got so good at business. And they figure out that these zombies are not very bright.
Yeah.
It's almost like once they become infected, a good portion of their cognitive skills kind of go out the window. So if like they can't, like the zombies can't figure out about how to slide the door open.
Right.
That's one thing. And then if they are out of sight, they're out of mind. So if they cover the windows of the train sliding door with newspaper, they can't see them. And so they don't think they're there anymore.
Yes, that that was very brilliant. The pregnant lady came up with that, where she just threw water on the, you know, window, covered it with newspaper, and then all of a sudden the zombies, you know, quiet down and everything is fine. And now everybody's just looking, going like, "What the fuck was that?"
Mm-hmm. Like, and at this point, businessman's grandma or businessman's mom or grandma calls and dies on the phone, not before calling his ex-wife a bitch.
Yes. and maybe she was. We really don't know anything about mom, other than she said that, you know, dad is always going to choose himself. He doesn't care about anyone, which I absolutely believe, you know, team mom on that. But I don't know what other problems they had. So maybe she was a bitch, you know, maybe. But maybe he was just a really shitty husband, the way that he's been a shitty dad and just providing the stuff.
Yeah, like his basic thing is like, I am the provider. I am not emotionally supportive in any way. I'm not encouraging in any way. And I'm definitely not there in any way. I'm here to provide the place that you live and the stuff that you have.
Yeah, and the conductor goes over and says, you know, we're going to stop at the next station. The military is there. You know, everything's fine. Just, right. You know.
East Square only.
Yeah. And dad makes a phone call to his guy. You know, when you have money like that, you always have a guy for everything. So he calls, you know, his military expert guy that you just keep in your back pocket. And finds out that once they get there, they are all going to be quarantined. And if he does not go to, like, the main town square and, you know, cuts off somewhere else, he will send his guys to go pick him up and keep you and your daughter out of quarantine. You know, like, don't go with the people. So they show up at, you know, town square and everybody's walking along. Dad goes to, like, dip out. And the homeless guy is just like, yeah, no, I'm going to go with you. And they,
because he overheard the conversation.
Yep. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm going to kick it with you. And everybody's walking in to the main square and they're going down the escalator. And you can see all the camo and the military is down there and their backs are turned. And, you know, you just think, okay, they're, like, getting to safety, you know, because they're all there to barricade and block and help and everything else. And as they're going down, all of a sudden, the zombies hear them, and the entire military has been turned at this point.
Yeah, and it's amazing, because they turn around, and you see them, and it is a literal army of zombies in military garb attacking, and it is beautiful.
It is absolutely stunning and terrifying because you're on an escalator. So now you're like fighting with an escalator. You have the people that you're fighting against. And, you know, pregnant guy picks up his old lady, puts her on the stairs, and it's just like, fucking run. And, you know, he turns around, he's dragging her.
He's fighting too. Like, it's very important. One of the reasons I love this character is that besides the fact that he's 100% like, you know, he's defending his wife or baby mama, but he's also just fighting. Like, he is a fighter.
Yeah. He is down for the cause, and he is there to fight, to keep his old lady safe. Now, if that happens to help you, super cool. But he is like the golden retriever type husband. And there, and again, I don't know if this is racist as fuck, so I apologize now.
Oh, all good conversations start that way.
Yes. I really wanted him to make it like a martial arts zombie movie where he could fight like that. He doesn't. And it is probably the only disappointing piece of this movie for me is I wanted him to know martial arts. I don't know if that's racist as fuck.
Right. No, so he doesn't know martial arts, guys. He literally just throws elbows.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a puncher, elbower, you know, street fight kid of just, I'm getting through you, which I do love. I love the, I guess, like, the hope it kind of inspires of anybody can kind of fight with a zombie if you needed to, because you don't need to know how to fight to defend yourself against these guys. But there is a part of me that wishes, even if there was one character that knew how to do martial arts, a martial arts zombie film, I don't know if that exists, but I want to watch it. So if anybody out there knows of a martial arts zombie film, please, at the show Manic Music Monday. What the fuck?
Manic Music Monday, guys. No.
That's my other podcast I do alone.
Holy shit.
Yeah. No, yes, if you want to add us, that would be Instagram Manic Movie Monday or Manic Movie Monday on Facebook. And please, yes, let us know, is there a Korean martial arts zombie movie?
Yeah, I want to watch that. Anyway, back to the movie. Dad, homeless guy, daughter are going down the corridor, and lo and behold, all of the guys that have been sent are also zombies. So now it is just mass pandemonium. Yes. Yes. Why? We can't record it this time anymore.
I mean,
I'm
what's
done.
What's going on, dude? It's 6 o'clock. What's wrong? What time did we record before? What time did we do High Tension?
Very early.
I feel like we did that at like 11 or something. No, 9. Like,
yeah.
See? That's why. Yeah, we're just toast.
My speech comes in at 10 a.m. That
shit.
It needs to be our recording time.
It is done.
Yeah. So it is pandemonium.
Yes, there it is.
In the train station with everybody running back to the trains. And the little girl is standing, she's terrified and can't move, and boyfriend, baby daddy, comes over and saves her.
Right.
Which kind of mends this relationship between dad and guy of just like, we need to work together. It is us versus them, not you versus me. And it just, that whole moment happens so quickly, and just with glances and looks of them getting attacked, dad can't get to daughter, I'm fighting, I'm gonna help, I'm gonna protect her, and also I'm here to save you because it's us versus them, and they just join forces like right off rip. And it's that, I love that fucking scene of just how people can communicate so much with so little. And they get through and they're trying to lock the doors, and the people make it, you know, back to the train. And, you know, we've got pregnant lady on the train. She's got the daughter with her now.
Which basically they would take better care of that kid than he would.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, emotionally speaking.
Yeah. You know, she might not have 3 wees, but she would get a hug goodnight and they would be at the recital. Yeah. So really, what's important to you, kids? And so, yeah, they're, you know, fighting with the glass and
they're like leaping out of windows and attacking.
Yes. Just apparently everything in Korea is, or, you know, South Korea is made of glass. So when zombies get to it, just like the pressure, they just start falling out and toppling. They're landing on the train. They're coming from everywhere. And, you know, the people who are on the train are like, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. They're coming. And pregnant boyfriend, dad, and a baseball player are, you know, stuck behind, you know, fighting and getting everyone else to safety. They finally lock the door. They are running as the train is taking off. And it's just some amazing shit happens, you know, of just picking up the army shield or, you know, police shield, like a SWAT type shield, and, you know, trying to get through while still trying to catch a moving train. And they get on. Now we have the women on one side in a bathroom.
Right, exactly. They barricaded themselves in the bathroom.
And like 5 trains away are these guys that are like, okay. And now, see, this is this is, I guess, a question. I mean, it would make a really shitty movie, but, like, why didn't we just, like, stay there for a while? Like, I don't...
Oh, you mean in the station?
No, I, like, in your cart. In your cart, there's no zombies. You have text message communication with the ladies in the bathroom, and they are like, yeah, we are barricaded in the bathroom. We're okay, you know, like, nobody's bit, nobody's hurt, nobody's attacked, but the men have decided we need to go get our women. It would be a really dumb fucking movie if we just, like, sat on the train and didn't do anything else.
For, like, 45 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just like, yeah, no, they're in a bathroom. We're just gonna fucking chill here.
Playing Game Boy.
Right, yeah. Just pull out the Wii. I have so many of them. So obviously the men decide that they gotta go. So they start taping up their arms to keep themselves from getting bitten and getting ready and to go into fucking battle. And I do love that. I love that they, all three of them, just know what needs to be done. There is not a ton of dialogue. There's no very American, like, speeches of, like, we need to rise up in freedom. We get through one train of having, you know, to fight, and the zombies do not go down easily, even when being hit in the head with a baseball bat, which I have questions about, because they are still humans, but okay. So they are fighting to get through. They finally get to, like, the little vestibule, and then they see a train with even more zombies, and they're like, fuck, man. And then all of a sudden, they go through a tunnel and realize that the zombies cannot see in the dark. And if they start pacing themselves to go through, the zombies won't know that they are there. So the first time is, you know, they hide and then leave one cell phone at the end of the train, you know, get up as close as they can, go through a tunnel, you know, call the cell phones while the zombies move into the next vestibule. And then, you know, then it's like a waiting sequence and waiting and waiting. And they finally get to the women and, you know, knock on the door, let them know that they are there. And they realize that, you know, they still have to get to the front of the train.
Right, where the assholes in car 99 are.
Yes. And we need to get there. So they start, you know, crawling up the luggage racks.
Yeah, this is so cool because they see that if they crawl inside where the luggage is being stored, the zombies won't see them.
Yeah. You know, we have like 2 miles, so it'll be dark. And we can just crawl ahead of them. And now we have, like, the pregnant woman, half of the elderly lesbian couple, you know, the big, strong boyfriend guy, dad, and this little girl. Part of the reason that I do love this little fucking girl so much is even though she is absolutely terrified, she listens. Like,
yeah. Not an American kid.
This, yeah, not an American kid whatsoever. My kids would have really been a detriment in this scenario.
Your kids would have gotten you eaten.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, without a doubt. Definite talent, like, might survive, but in trying to defend us, probably not. He doesn't want to hear that, so luckily, yeah, he doesn't listen to this. So,
yeah,
fuck him.
I know, right? I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, we're gonna get fucking eaten and trying to do, like, the Fido route of, like, I can change him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can have a zombie as a pet.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to domesticate this zombie.
Yeah, I just want to pet it. Can I pet that dog? Yeah. My kids would have gotten us fucking killed.
Not the teeth, Tammy.
Yeah, not the teeth, Tammy.
This movie is, it's like equal parts tragic and beautiful and infuriating. Because we have this one whole car full of people that are reacting out of fear and that they're terrified of getting bit, they're terrified of dying, but they're also just super greedy. And I really think that they're like a representation of just the greediness of it's every man for itself and fuck you.
Right. Yeah, they have just kind of huddled together, and it's just very, even though we are all together, it is every man for himself in this cart.
And it's the train. Okay, so explain this to me, because the train conductor, isn't that the dude who drives the train?
Yes. So he's still driving.
Right.
They have the other attendant.
Who are the two assholes?
The attendant, the male attendant, because the female one, you know, right. help you. Know,
bye.
Bye. Right. And then there's just a businessman who is on the train. And I looked for his name, and I don't think that he is ever called anything in the movie.
Right. I don't think so either. I think he's just the douche.
Yeah. So just, yes, Dad is a businessman and a hedge fund manager.
Hedge fund manager. But pork chops and applesauce.
But really, the asshole of the movie is this businessman.
Ooh.
I thought, that's funny you should say to me that he's the businessman. I thought this dude was like the train manager or something.
Yeah, he is just a businessman on the train who just needs to get to Busan because that's where he lives.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. He is just a fucking guy.
I did. I thought it was like there's a guy who drives a train, and then there's the person who's like a manager, and then his lackey who he throws into the pile of zombies.
And so, you know, this group all, you know, get together. They get to the door for safety, and the young baseball player has texted Zhen Yi saying, "We're coming, we're on our way, like, open the door." And they barricade the door and start, you know, tying it up with neck scarves. And
they hold her, like, hostage.
Yeah, they're holding her hostage to not let them in. And they make it to the door and they start banging, "Please let us in, let us in." And they refuse.
So they bust it open, motherfucker.
And as they bust it open, the other half of the lesbian couple sees her girl, and
let me just paint this for you, because there are several moments in this movie where I wanted to text Hillary and just tell her I was angry at her for making me watch this, because it is so fucking tragic and sad, and here is one of those moments.
Yes, I actually did get a text afterwards that said, "Why the fuck did you make me watch this?" And I said, "'Cause it's amazing." So, yeah, the other half of the lesbian couple looks up, sees, like, the love of her life, and she doesn't make it. She just sees her, you know, get succumbed by zombies, and then, you know, the rest of them break in, and they couldn't have made it through. They're infected, they're crazy, and they tell them that they can't stay in the train with them. They have to go to the next corridor, that they can't be with them. And baseball player's girlfriend, Zhen Yi, says, "Well, you're like, fine, I'm going with them too, you know." And so they are escorted, you know, to the next train, where, again, everybody's necktying their side. And the other half of the lesbian couple gets up, and she sees her girl, who is now a zombie, through the vestibule with just, like, the lost eyes. And, you know, she just gets up and walks over and wants to be with her. And in turn, lets the zombies in that cart.
And just kill her.
Yeah, kill her. And she took out almost everyone else in there.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. And then, now at what point,
does the Asian cheerleader become a zombie?
So they have, there's a blockage on the train, and so they have to get out and, like, switch trains. And while, I mean, it is chaos and carnage everywhere, baseball player and the girlfriend get to the second train, and as they're trying to figure out, are we on the right train? Is this the train we're... Because it's just, like, everybody's just running, trying to find where we need to go, where we can get to Busan. And they get onto a train, and then the businessman, who hid in a bathroom, makes it out, grabs her off the train, and throws her.
That's right.
Yes.
To the zombie.
That's right. Yes. The businessman And the asshole basically throws her to the zombies.
Yes. And then the baseball player, after she gets bit, sits down with her and is just crying. And then she turns and kills him too. Like, you grow to really, like, give a shit about these characters. And in turn, right before the breakthrough, and, you know, the everybody has to, you know, be escorted out, and they're, the boyfriend, baby daddy, is holding the door shut, realizes...
And he can't hold it anymore.
Realizes he can't hold it anymore. He knows he just, he gets bitten, and he looks at his old lady, and then looks at back at dad, and just goes, "You gotta take care of her for me. I can't hold this much longer. I'm getting tired. I'm getting weaker. You need to take care of her." And that, you know, they run off, and, you know, dad realizes now, I mean, he's got like a gorgeous, like, new wife that's, you know, pregnant, and we're gonna just keep my daughter alive, and that's the new plan.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Yeah. Yeah, except, and dad even manages to fight off like a dog pile of zombies that are on like the back of the train.
Yes. You know, they make it to the secondary train. They're, you know, about to head out. Dad makes it with pregnant girl and his little girl. And yeah, it is just one zombie grabs onto the train as they're going, and then it's like zombie grabbing to zombie grabbing to zombie.
Yep.
And it is just such an amazing fucking shot. And then they go to go like talk to the conductor, and they realize the conductor is the shit businessman.
That's right. That's right. Yes, it is. Because it is a big reveal where you're like, oh no.
Yeah. And he's a motherfucking zombie.
And he bites him.
And he bites him. And in their, you know, struggle of this and that. And beforehand, you know, the as he's turning, he's saying like, I'm scared. I don't understand what's happening. And you almost have empathy other than the fact that you just like watched him start feeding people to fucking zombies,
right,
to survive.
You know he's an evil fuck, and he deserves everything he gets.
Yeah. So as he is fighting, dad and businessman are fighting, and what we have is the little girl starts screaming, and the businessman goes after her, and dad grabs him and puts his hand in his mouth to save her, wraps a cord around his waist, and then jumps off the fucking train, and we kill the shit businessman, and we just realize dad now is not going to fucking make it. And dad walks to the, you know, talks to them, I love you, like, you gotta save her, get to Busan.
And the little girl, this is one of the most heartbreaking fucking scenes on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, it is absolutely, like, it would take a robot not to cry during this. But there is the scene where she has to say goodbye to her dad, and she's just crying, and she's just like, no. And
yeah, and dad walks to the end of the train, and, you know, it's kind of playing of the greatest moment of his life, and we see that it was the day that she was born. And prior to this, when, like, baby daddy and dad are talking in one moment, it just, you know, she'll understand it when she's older, and dad's kind of like, what? And she, you know, that you had to work so much because you love her. She'll understand that one day. And it's all kind of happening right fucking now. And then dad falls off the train. And as two girls with, you know, the sadness of missing their fucking dads.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. This movie will rip your fucking heart out.
That's right. Yeah, enjoy.
Yeah. No, yeah, you should still definitely fucking
watch it. It's a great movie. You should definitely watch it. Want to follow it up with Joy Luck Club while you're at it.
And yeah, then train makes it to Busan, and pregnant lady and little girl are walking through a fucking tunnel, which I could not, you couldn't pay me enough to walk through.
And there's snipers that are waiting for them, and they can't tell if they're zombies or they're humans. So they pretty much are poised just to shoot them on sight.
Which I think would have been great.
Oh, well, it would have been very 70s.
Yeah, I was just totally
kill both of them
prepared for pregnant lady to take one into the fucking head.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my God, like, this movie couldn't get, like, any more fucking heartbreaking other than the fact to make it and have the military take you out. Very, Night of the Living Dead. Like, right? I was just like, oh my God, they're gonna fucking kill the pregnant girl. I think the daughter's gonna make it. But I think pregnant lady is out. And then the little girl starts singing from her recital. And it sounds like we have Little Orphan Annie, The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow.
God, I fucking hate that song so much.
Well, I believe that this is the Korean version of that.
Oh, that's a good point.
And she starts singing that of just like, because we're going to be together later. So, and the army starts hearing this little girl start singing and saying, sir, we have survivors. Go get them, go get them, go get them.
And scene.
And scene, and you fucking cry.
Yeah, you just cry. Like, it's funny because Hillary kind of said that something in the last episode that I thought was really telling, which is just that, like, the foreign horror films, you know, they don't play by our rules. They don't play by our boundaries, right? And so they're just better.
They are. They, especially...
They're just better.
Because, like, we do have, especially by era and decade of things that are okay and popularized. Yes. Okay, and what we will accept, and then, you know, we go to the next era, and we're just like, oh no, we won't have that anymore. Like, in the 70s and the 80s, you could absolutely kill kids. Then the 90s and the aughts came, and it was like, we don't do that anymore.
Not only do we not kill kids, but every single horror movie we come out with is PG-13.
Yeah, PG-13 horror movies are common, and then we didn't start... the first movie that I remember that killed another kid was Hereditary.
Yes. Yeah, that was... Yeah.
And then people were so blown away by that we were going to kill a kid. But if you were raised on 70s and 80s horror, it was just like, oh, good. We're getting back to murdering the babies. Good. Yeah. Yes.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Thank God we're killing children again. There's the soundbite for this fucking clip. Yeah. And so, yeah, just the things that other countries, and maybe it is like very common there, is not here. So the rules that I have ingrained in me for horror, especially in zombie films, like, you know, dad had to have lived, but he fucking doesn't, which is, you know, what makes Night of the Living Dead such a fucking classic,
right?
But
you're like, oh no, the black man is fine. Yeah. Nope,
because the police killed him.
Yeah.
But, you know, would police ever do that?
I know, right?
Oh, yeah, good still. Lord. Still.
In 2024.
In 2024.
But it's fine.
That's awesome. Well, I love this movie. I loved it. I thought it was great. And you should see it. And it is free on Tubi right now. Now, I have never seen the sequel. Have you seen the sequel?
No, nowhere near as good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's, we don't even need to worry about that.
Yeah, no. We'll stay right here.
Okay. I would like our next movie to be, I kind of want to go with Wolf Creek.
Okay.
I want to go Australian.
Okay, we could go Australian.
We went French, we went Korean, I want to go Australian, and then we'll just decide after that.
Let the right one in.
Let the right one in, which is?
It's Norwegian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Or The Innocents. Oh, we'll keep okay. Everybody invested.
Okay,
going to be Let the
Right One In. It's either Let the Right One In or The Innocents. Okay. Once again, you can find us, you can add us, you can all of that kind of ghoul stuff. Cool stuff? Ghoul.
Yeah, no, ghoul is better.
Ghoul stuff.
Yeah.
Ghoul stuff on Facebook, on Manic Movie Monday, as well as Instagram, Manic Movie Monday. Show, we will see you next Monday, and as always,
stay manic.